Hello, folks. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher back with you again today. Another beautiful day in the state of Florida. We're coming to you from our studio at Daytona Beach. A little bit cloudy, but still warming up, and I cannot wait for the time change. Oh, God, I can't wait for the time change. I love to go biking in the afternoon, and when it's dark, it's not a good time to do it. Anyway, I got to give a shout-out to our friends at Daytona Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram for their loyal support, and particularly our driver, Mr. Daniel Dye, who, if you didn't follow it last week, took the pole position in Atlanta and finished ninth, an outstanding accomplishment. This week, they're off to Las Vegas, so they're carrying the Solar Fit sign and the Race to Stop Suicide, and we appreciate everyone for their support in that. We've got a very special guest here today that I want to introduce. If you're new to the program, we talk about renewable energy, sustainability, and health issues, and today we're going to be talking about mental health issues, which ties right in with the Race to Stop Suicide. I'd like to welcome my friend Catherine Joy Karpinski to the show. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm pretty excited to talk to you because I've got a bunch of questions. I'm known as the question guy because I just don't know enough to have all the answers. But first, before we start, if we can, talk a little bit about your background.
Sure. My mental health background is I am a board-certified behavior analyst, and I've got 15 years' experience in home, school, and clinic settings. I also run a coaching business called The Joy Advantage. And so what I do with my coaching clients, I'm working with parents whose children who have some kind of ADHD, autism, or other neurodivergence. Sometimes I'm working with teenagers who have some of those similar conditions. I also work with young adults and entrepreneurs who are dually exceptional. So those are the people who are both gifted and have some kind of neurodivergence.
Boy, that's a pretty diverse field of people that come to your business. Joy, tell us where you grew up.
I grew up in Syosset, Long Island. It was a very high-achieving high school. Like, my classmates were Sue Bird and Natalie Portman. So, you know, it was a tough crowd to swim in, a lot of high achievers from my school. Oh. And I wound up studying musical theater at University of Miami. I was a huge, huge theater nerd, and could sing the Phantom of the Opera when I was like 14. And I went to University of Miami on a scholarship for musical theater, but I, unfortunately, 9/11 happened my senior year. And so the theater industry was one of many industries that crashed. And there really weren't a lot of jobs for a lot of people in New York City after 9/11. So I wound up going to Los Angeles, and in Los Angeles, I was hired as an autism therapist doing applied behavior analysis. Now, applied behavior analysis is the science of behavior. A lot of it is founded on the work of B.F. Skinner, and that work was then translated into the field of education and autism services by developing custom treatment plans based on the child's unique needs. So I like to say it's a high repetition, high reward learning style.
Geez, that's incredible. How did you end up coming back down to Florida?
My mom's here. And so unfortunately, I had some health issues. And after that experience and needing some care, you know, there's no one like mama.
Right.
And what I was able to find was I was able to get a correct diagnosis. I was able to get correct support. And I was able to get much healthier living here in Florida.
Well, it is a wonderful place to live, that's for sure. That's why everyone's moving to Florida. Did you notice all the people coming into our community?
I know. I'm originally from New York, and I hear the accent everywhere I go. I always joke around, like, all the smart ones are here.
Well, they're coming down from New York and droves and New Jersey and all places north, and who wouldn't love it, the weather and, all the advantages that we have here. But, you know, getting back to, you know, some of the disciplines that you're helping diagnose there, there couldn't be a better time for this, Catherine, because we're coming off a pandemic where some of the kids have been sheltered in place for many, many moons, and I assume mm-hmm. that that has some consequences. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yes. Well, the first consequence I talk about was the increase in family violence. There was actually an increase in families and homes experiencing an increase in verbal abuse and other kinds of abuse, unfortunately, because of the extreme high stress, the high levels of uncertainty, the political climate, everyone on their smartphones arguing with each other, people losing their jobs, having to parent and school your children at the same time as trying to work from home. So children were exposed to and, you know, had to really cope with extreme levels of family stress. And so this is not just, you know, an isolated incident. This is something that's really happened culture-wide, unfortunately. And children are coming to the hospitals with really severe mental health crises more often than ever. So we are in a childhood mental health crisis still, even coming out of the pandemic. I feel like there is not enough resources available to children. And, you know, and there's often an approach of like kind of kicking the can down the line of like, oh, kids are resilient. Oh, they'll all go through this together. Oh, they'll shake out fine in the long run. And I think that doesn't serve children very well. I think we really need to pay attention to what the kids are telling us.
That is absolutely correct. You know, one of the things that occurs to me is social media and the effect that it's had on mm-hmm. on kids these days, and basically what they've become so attached to their phone that the first time it dings, which is every 30 seconds, you've got to look at it. How is that impacting people?
Well, you do see children having lower frustration tolerance. You do have children having very low boredom tolerance. And what I'm hearing from some of my friends who are classroom professionals is you put a kid in the classroom who's on their iPad 8 to 10 hours a day, take away that iPad to go to class, they're in withdrawals. So what's happening is the iPad competes with other activities, and other activities are losing out. Because standing in the middle of a soccer field in the hot sun is not as fun as Minecraft. And so children are missing out on opportunities and activities if they're really withdrawn into their iPads. And I see, you know, parents fret about this all the time. You know, there's a lot of parents who are really trying and really actively trying to find other engaging activities, other hobbies, you know, family, game nights. And they want more ideas and they want more solutions. But then other parents are overwhelmed themselves. Maybe they've got their own media addiction, or maybe they've got you know, a reason why they want to turn the iPad into a babysitter. You know, maybe they're working from home and have a high-stress job and have, you know, multiple people counting on them at work, and so their child quietly sitting in the corner on an iPad is very advantageous for them. And then they try to turn the iPad off when work is over, and the kid is like, oh, now you want to pay attention to me? So, you know, it really does interrupt family dynamics, and I see a lot of families struggling with this. So if you're a parent out there hearing this, like, you are not alone. This is a frequent topic of discussion of the families I work with, and as well as my friends and family members who are parents as well. So the question is, what do you do? Like, how do you stop it? You know, it's so ingrained in the culture, and it's happening amongst the entire cohort. Now, I think there needs to be a return to basics as far as play skills. You know, play skills and hobbies, you know, leisure time used to mean playing sports, creating art, going to community centers or going to parks, going to community events. Leisure time used to mean something different than holding up on the couch with a device. So I think we have to reimagine our relationship to leisure. and think of all the wonderful things and opportunities we could offer our children that are not the iPad, and make it a priority.
Boy, Catherine, I agree 100%. You know, along those same lines, if you think back to, you know, 2019 or whenever this pandemic started, and say you were just getting ready to graduate from school, and this occurred, there are people really over the last 4 or 5 years that have not even endeavored to enter the workforce, and that's having a very drastic effect on businesses and is on the person themselves, because being social beings, you know, we need to be around other people. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, a lot of young people just starting their careers, it's a bleak environment out there for a lot of early job seekers, because I think there's been kind of a polarization. You're either in the top echelons of very well trained and extreme expertise with extreme skill sets, or you're kind of in that service class where you're just serving burgers and coffees, and that service class is having less and less mobility because those middle skill jobs are disappearing. Those middle skill jobs are being taken over by, at first it was outsourcing customer service, and now AI is going to do your customer service. You know, I feel like a lot of people have been caught in that trap of being sold that all they have to do is get an education and then the jobs will be waiting for them. A lot of those jobs are disappearing, and I think that young people have really had to innovate. So the young people that are doing well are the ones that have found, what are their greatest value that they have to market? What are the skills that they have the ability to develop? And how can they apply those skills in new and creative ways? I think that the younger generation, I think Gen Z is very entrepreneurial. I think that Gen Z has seen that, they don't like how people are treated in the beginning of their careers, where you have to, pay your dues and, be on the receiving end of managers who don't want to listen to you. Or I think that there's a feeling of, wanting to push back on that hustle culture of really giving up your life to your demand of your boss. But on the flip side of that, the bosses are having trouble retaining people. I think like the whole relationship needs to be reevaluated. And I think the young people have some valid complaints about work culture. A lot of the lowest paying job don't have many steps into career promotions. A lot of the lower paying jobs require you to be extremely flexible on your schedule so you can't get a second job. So I think there's a lot of cultural pushback on that, but it's kind of the Wild West with e-commerce out there, and a lot of kids are trying to figure out how to be their own boss.
Well, yeah, I can't help but think back when I was growing up in upstate New York, a little bit north of where you were. We had what they called BOCES, and BOCES was an opportunity to go into the trades, and what we have, I think, seen is, we've seen the tendency for people to try to achieve higher education, which we all want, through universities or whatever, but maybe it wasn't right for them, and now they're left with a tremendous amount of debt. I think we need to get back to encouraging people to go to trade schools, because we've got a serious lack of skilled electricians and tradespeople, and the people that are working in those fields are getting older and older, and there's a gap that needs to be filled. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. It's wonderful to encourage children to go on to college ambitions, but like you said, like it's not the right fit for every child. And we can't have this culture of shame around working in the trades. because once you get it into a child's head, like, you're only good enough to go to trade school and not good enough to go to college, like this kid who's better than you, you know, I think a lot of kids shut down. And I think that, you know, there's got to be a way to kind of incentivize that, like, hey, you want to be a hustler or you want to have your own business, like a plumber has his own business.
Indeed, and they're driving the brand new pickup trucks, right? Very lucrative business.
There was a funny episode of South Park where they were showing all of these contractors with shiny new pickup trucks and all of the college-educated folks being laid off. Like, it's kind of – a lot of workers have grown up in a world that they were not prepared for or not trained for. You know, I was literally trained for a pre-9/11 New York and then graduated to a post-9/11 New York.
Oh, my gosh.
All of my plans kind of went out the window when something beyond my control happened. And it happened to, you know, a generation of workers, you know, not to mention those who actually suffered on that day. Large things like 9/11 or the coronavirus pandemic they're historical milestones. They changed the entire landscape. And, I think culturally workers have had to be more adaptive than ever. So I think it does do young people a disservice to only give them one choice or one path and it's pass or fail. Either you get the right degree and get a $80,000 a year job right after graduation or, you know, you've wasted your life.
Boy,
I think there's a ton of pressure on young people.
You are so right. We're getting really close to the break. Folks, we're going to take a short break right now. Please stay with us. It's a very exciting discussion. We'll be right back.
If somebody knocks on your door or a telemarketer's on your phone, you know it's not us. Hi, folks. This is Bill Gallagher with SolarFit. If you've been thinking about solar, we want you to knock on our door or call us. SolarFit's been a part of this community for over 47 years, and our customers love us. Couldn't say it if it wasn't true. Now's the time to go solar for your home or business. Give us a call at 445-7606.
SolarFit your life and set yourself free with the sun's free energy.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the SolarFit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher with you with my friend Catherine Joy Karpinski. Catherine, that first set, that was so cool. You answered so many of my questions. To me, right on, we got to get the trade schools back in a state of glory instead of a desperate state because, you can be an entrepreneur. You can start out as a carpenter, an electrician, or something like that, and end up owning your own business. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and something that we were talking about earlier with the use of the iPad, I'm also hearing from professionals that children are not developing the hand strength they need or the body strength they need to run and play and write and climb and use their muscles correctly. So when we talk about things like iPad usage and trade school, they're actually connected. We want kids growing up in a way where they are able to develop to their fullest potential. And we really have to be mindful of what this generation is doing with the overconsumption of media.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as I'm not a morning person?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not a morning person. I actually read in a book called When. I think it was the same author as Blink. I forget. The book called When had a whole chapter on circadian rhythm. And it was really interesting that certain percentages of the population are early birds. Certain population is night owls, and most people in the middle are kind of in between. So there is natural variation between early birds and night owls. That is actually a thing. People have different natural circadian rhythms.
Well, thank you for addressing that, because that's always been a pet peeve of me. I'm one of these guys that jumps up in the morning at 5 o'clock, cause, even when it's dark, because I want to see what's going on. And some people go, I'm not a morning person. I don't think that's real. So thank you for helping me understand that.
Yeah, there's just human variety in circadian rhythms.
Is there a way to change that? I mean, am I going to wake up someday and not want to wake up early, or what? I don't want that to happen.
I mean, it is possible. I know when I was younger, I could barely open my eyes before 10 a.m., and now I'm always up before 7. So I think it's possible to change in different periods of your life. And as you get older, you tend to need a few hours less sleep. For example, teenagers need like 8 to 10 hours of sleep, while older adults, sometimes get along perfectly well with 6. So our bodies change, our needs change. So, but as far as like habit development, I would rather see a night owl be, set up an environment where they are most active when their brains are most active. So, somebody's got to work the night shift. I think there's an evolutionary benefit to having a variety of set points, a natural variety of people who like the morning versus like the evening.
Oh, boy. So what about where maybe some of the younger generation are living more of a sedentary lifestyle? Are we apt to see that change their rhythm to where they're... To me, you have to burn a certain number of calories a day, right? And if you're not, if you're just working on your iPhone all the time, how does that work?
Well, first of all, the bright light and the blue light in your eyes right before bedtime does not help your circadian rhythm. So, too much of that media use definitely will interrupt your sleep, especially if you use it late at night. But overall, the lack of exercise, affects every part of your body. It affects everything from your cardiovascular system to your mental health to your lung capacity to how much anxiety you experience. And frequently, I use exercise as a strategy to improve focus and concentration and decrease the anxiety over getting started. So exercise can be a little bit like a natural medication. And so if you need your natural medication, you need your vitamin D, you need your oxygen, you're not getting it, that can contribute to that like downward spiral that, depression and anxiety compounds on depression and anxiety. And then you lose your motivation to do the things that prevent the depression and anxiety.
Yeah, I have always believed, and even to this day believe, that one of the best self-medicating techniques is exercise, like whatever, any type, whether it's walking, stretching, bike riding, whatever. It really has to be part of your physical nature to affect your psyche. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and there's a lot of science to back that up. Brain cells that grow while you're exercising are less prone to anxiety than brain cells developed at rest. So you actually become more resilient to stress and anxiety when you regularly exercise. But, it's a very important point that you said, whatever you want to do, because if the exercise is punishment, that's actually going to be more counterproductive than not exercising at all. I've got a little girl that I work with where the parents wanted to get her to exercise more and they wanted her to walk on the treadmill, and she just didn't want to do it. And I was like, well, let's just see what she likes. Do you like dance parties? Do you like jumping on the trampoline? Do you like walking in the park? So we came up with a whole list of other exercises that she actually finds fun. So you're not going to get kids to exercise, or adults to exercise for that matter, if it's somehow like a drudgery or painful or, ugh, I have to exercise. Do something fun. Do something you look forward to. I did a walk on the beach this morning. I cycle Lehigh Trail here in Palm Coast. Like, I love exercising because when I exercise, I only do things that I like.
You know, I'm happy to hear you ride on Lehigh Trail. I'm there all the time. We probably pass each other. I'm the guy with the ear pods and listen to a podcast. That's my favorite trail with the new bridge going over 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
Where we are so blessed to live in this area that has so many bike trails and parks and beaches. Like, it truly is, like, makes what I'm talking about accessible. We live in one of the best areas in the country to take advantage of the natural antidepressants right outside our door. The bike trails, the beaches, the parks, you know, just get out in the sun and play.
Exactly. What about the pickleball place where we met last week? That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. With all those shiny new solar panels.
Yeah, I tell you. Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much for the plug. we just installed a 100 kW solar power system that's powering the facility, which is really, really cool. But I'll tell you a really funny story. About three years ago, I was talking to a fellow, and I said, you watch this pickleball. This is going to be the next crazy. He goes, oh, no, it's just a fad. I said, no. Well, look at it. It is just taking over the world. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if that's the exercise you find fun, then, you know, you don't have to force yourself. You look forward to it. You incorporate it into your week as, you know, it's a reward to go do your exercise, not a punishment. You know, you do things that are play, you do things that are fun, and it's so much easier, you know. Play when you learn, play when you exercise, play when you clean, play when you're hanging out with your family, play at work. You know, if you can find something that feels like play, and that came from Plato, the Greek philosopher Plato, life must be lived as play.
Gosh.
You'll be a happier, healthier person if you can orient yourself and orient your life towards things you enjoy.
Well, that is brilliant. That's something we all need to do, Catherine. We're almost out of time. How can people reach you to take advantage of your services?
Sure. Well, you know, you picked up on a theme here. My business name is called The Joy Advantage. So you can find me on Psychology Today, on Google, and on Stan Store. And I've got www.thejoyadvantage.com. I'm also on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Okay, so here's the question. Is there any correlation between the Joy Advantage and Catherine Joy Karpinski? Huh?
I think you know where I got my branding from.
I
yes,
think
Joy
that is absolutely
literally my middle name.
So I'll bet you that people call you Joy a lot, don't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you've done a great job on this podcast and a real service to the folks in Florida. And you know, folks, please reach out to Catherine for some advice if it's you personally or if it's your kids, if your family, she's there for you. And really, really, thank you so much, Catherine. It's been fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Bill.
You're welcome. Folks, we're going to sign off for now and hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
SolarFit Renewable Energy Radio Show, paid for by SolarFit.